Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello everyone and welcome to the What Culture Giving podcast. As you might have noticed, I am not regular host Scott Tilford because he is away for a few weeks enjoying his honeymoon across America, the lucky so-and-so. So unfortunately for you, today you have me joined by the superhero expert Ewan Paterson because we're going to talk about the Avengers project, now just Marvel's Avengers, because it had its grand unveiling at E3 and the dust has finally settled. We've had interviews with developers, we've had big off-screen demos being explained to us, and it sounds very interesting. There's a lot to get our heads around. I feel like they didn't show like all that much off in the actual trailer that we got, and yet there is so much to sort of chomp on, and it's what about so much to chomp on and discuss everything that it says about superhero games in general and where the subgenre is going. Ewan, what are your initial thoughts and what did you take away from the trailer?
The really interesting thing for me from the trailer is that I was fully on board with it. I got up really early. I think it must have been the Tuesday morning or something after the Square Enix conference. I got up, I watched the trailer, I was like, wow, I'm in. And then I noticed online that loads of people were kind of pessimistic, not just about the character designs and the facial animations, which we can get to later on, I'm sure. But the way that they seem to just withhold gameplay, and I thought they actually had a decent amount of gameplay in that footage. I think that's more a testament to how far along we are in the industry right now.
Because I know what you mean.
The seamless blend between cutscene and gameplay, it was very, very seamless. Like, you know, you have that bit where Thor and Iron Man land on the Golden Gate Bridge, and then you see Thor attack several guys. That's gameplay. Same with the Hulk bit where he's on the bridge and he kicks that guy off, and it looks really fun. My first thoughts were, I'm very optimistic about this, despite not being a fan of games as a service games like Destiny. I couldn't really get into it. I thought the grind was real, the repetition.
Absolutely.
But I'm a shill for comic books and superheroes, and I like the idea of being able to just have a proper co-op superhero experience, because we've not had that since Arkham came along. We've not had anything along those lines. The closest was Arkham Origins with the multiplayer that they had in that, which is actually pretty fun. You could play as Batman and Robin and do that sort of thing, but we've never had it where a game really empowered several people to play different characters, and that's what I'm really after, even though I find the Captain America design in this to look like a big old disappointing loaf of bread.
He's particularly frustrated.
He looks like he's going to call the cops on your next barbecue. Like, he doesn't.
Camp cop. I'm repping my man here. Yeah. It's interesting that you should mention the multiplayer thing, because I think that's part of one of the major issues that's kind of been miscommunicated by the devs, is how much is going to be multiplayer and how much is single player. Because digging into like interviews and stuff, apparently it's going to be way more single player focused than a lot of us were initially led to believe, or at least I was. I was expecting a kind of drop in, drop out sort of almost Marvel Ultimate Alliance esque sort of system, but apparently that's not the case. Apparently much of the main game anyway is only played in single player, with some of the missions being opened up to like friends and stuff, which kind of like seems to me like it would make more sense, but it seems like they're trying to have a focused cinematic story that keeps it. It's going to be so cinematic without sort of sacrificing, you know, because if you could just pick any player you want, that means like each character has to have sort of like a blank slate. You can't sort of go into specific characters for specific missions, which they are trying to do. So it's kind of, it's a difficult way to do it. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too in a way, which I think. But for me, it's disappointing that it's not going to support local co-op, which is frustrating.
Yes.
But I kind of feel like this is a good compromise, because then you do get that direct storytelling with the openness of a multiplayer experience.
I completely agree, because I thought the exact same thing as you. I thought, we'll have the entire game will be played in co-op and each people can have their thing. But if you think of the cinematic nature of the story, they'll probably want every player to experience each different character. And I imagine the way certain missions are structured, you'll only have one Avenger for a certain time and then more will join the fray.
Yeah.
So I imagine, you know, they probably thought that along the way and thought, well, we want everyone to experience the story in one way and then we can save the co-op stuff for the as-service elements that will come into play later. And to be honest, I quite like the idea of a hero simulator, the idea that like you have the main story and then you're just the Avengers afterwards and then you get given different threats as updates, kind of reacting to that in a way, which is kind of what you would do in the old Spider-Man free roam games. Like even if you didn't play the main story, you just swing around the city as Spider-Man stopping crimes. And that was like the closest thing we've had to just like a spontaneous hero simulator. You know, even though you've got this massive story going on at the side, you can just still get up out of your apartment in Queens and then swing around for a bit and just stop random muggings and crimes and stuff. But if you had that with the added, you know, supervillain nature, which they can do with these updates, that kind of takes that power fantasy to the extreme. So again, I think I'm probably a little bit more optimistic about this than most people.
That is an interesting way to put it, actually, because obviously this game is a games as service, live service, and the developers have promised that they will roll out free content as the months and years go by. Apparently, it's not going to be a big 10-year plan like Destiny, but it will be supported until the inevitable sequel comes out with, like you said, new installments, new chapters, more story, essentially, which kind of, for me, sounds like a comic book or at least comic book storytelling. I like that they can give us this sort of self-contained thing, but then carry it on essentially with new issues, like every couple of months or something, as updates and DLC. Yeah. I think that's a really interesting way to tell a story and, like you said, bring in new villains. How substantial that is going to be, I'm a little worried about, because how many times before have we been burnt by games as service, games promising an epic roadmap and then not delivering at all?
Yeah, the worst thing that I could think of now would be like you get an update for the Masters of Evil or whatever, and you've got Baron Zemo, who's going to be this new villain, and then what happens is for a few months there aren't any updates, and all you're left to do is face level 20 Baron Zemo or level 50 Baron Zemo, and then you're doing that, and then you're going back through all the missions to grind your levels to do a certain thing. I'd really, really hate that. You know what I think this game would benefit from?
Come on.
Would be some user-created content. I think if you gave players the ability to kind of tailor their own scenarios and missions, and you made that a community feature where people can kind of share their own different things, almost in a little big Planet Mario Maker style way. They probably get more out of that, but obviously I don't know how that would factor into the monetized aspects, because they're saying they're not doing it for story or actual add-on stuff. It's mainly just cosmetics.
It's mainly just skins and stuff, because there are two sort of different tiers of how you can customize your characters. One is skills and gear, which directly affects stats, and one is literally just costumes, which is great. But come on, guys, like I did this in the chatty faces last week. Give me free costumes. They did say there will be options in the base game, but that like that's the main source of the monetization. Anyway,
I'm really curious to see if they do something like Injustice 2, because even though I was like, I really want to see classic comic book costumes in this game, I really do think that maybe in Injustice 2, if they want to retain the aesthetic and the kind of the visual nature of this game, I think maybe an Injustice 2 style gear system would perhaps benefit. And I know that again, that was all microtransaction based and like loot boxy, but they've said they're not having loot boxes in
this.
So if you were able to tailor your character bit by bit with different gear, and obviously that's irrespective of stats, that'll just be a purely cosmetic thing, you could go into these different scenarios with a hero that really felt like your own.
Yes.
That's just, again, that's something that I don't even know how they're handling the cosmetic stuff. I'm sure they'll have full-on alternate skins, but if they were ever to do a thing where, say, you liked the helmet of the baseline Captain America, but you hated the torso, and you could change that and swap that in around for bits and bobs, I thought. Or maybe even the shield. Like, you know, we could have, you know, Captain America had like a laser shield one time in the comics. Maybe they could do a different thing like that. Maybe you have the World War II shield where it was like a triangle.
I don't know. World War II shield, man. In Ultimate Alliance, that was the one I always picked. I think that's a really interesting way to go about doing it, because obviously we're going to be comparing this game a lot to Spider-Man, because that's the only other entry in the Marvel Gamerverse that we have so far, and it did it really well. But in Spider-Man, obviously you had the distinct costumes that came with you know, their unique powers and stuff. I think that made sense for Spidey, who is more a holistic superhero. You know, he has one massive type that he just pulls on himself, but like you said, it would be interesting that for these heroes to mix and match the garb, and it would lend itself to a sort of loot system like Injustice without the microtransactions, hopefully, and kind of like God of War, which I think it sounds very similar in that your character is customized through stats and gear. In that game, obviously your skills were very important as you learned new moves, and they've said that the skill trees for each character will be distinct and unique. They said they keep saying this really weird thing where they say they really want the heroes to feel, you know, individual from each other and play differently. And I keep turning to you going, I hope so. I really hope they would. It would feel weird if Iron Man and Black Widow felt the same to play.
Yeah, it's a good point, because I guess, I mean, maybe the thing they're getting at with there is, like, if with the old Ultimate Alliance games, not to slight them or anything, but the only real difference that you had with those characters would be, one would be more brawlery, the different power, they had different kind of reskins of ranged attacks sometimes, so I see what they're going for there. But yeah, kind of, it seems almost like self-explanatory at this point to be like, well, they're all going to play differently, you know. But yeah, I don't know, it's one of those things where I really, it's so risky, because there is so much stuff they could do here where they could get it right.
Yes.
It could be one of the, for me personally, I know people love Destiny, and I know people love those games as a service style models, but for me this could be, you know, the first successful games as a service game to realize its premise. And if you think about it, the more you dwell on the nature of the comic book medium and superheroes specifically, it lends itself quite well to that, because even though we all love our story-driven, linear kind of superhero games like the Arkham series and Spider-Man, there is a point where you're done with them and you're kind of left wondering, oh, if only it would let me do that for longer, or if only they supported this in a different way, because the illusion only continues to a certain point. I know you've probably played Spider-Man PS4, finished collecting everything and doing everything, and it's the same type of crimes that keep on happening over and over again, and it does, that level of repetition is problematic. And what you kind of want to avoid with a superhero simulator is to make sure that the challenges are constantly innovating in different ways.
I fully agree. As much as I loved Spider-Man PS4, one of my favorite games of the generation, in the final hours of that game, potentially my fault, potentially the developers, because I'd finished the main story, I'd finished the main side quests, and I was, like you said, repeating the same crimes over and over again in a way that we've been doing since Spider-Man 2, just on a larger scale. So this is a more interesting way, I think, of tackling that, because the game's not going to be open world, but it's going to be set across sort of like a bunch of mini open worlds, so this is a cool way for them to keep introducing new content for that end game, post game, whatever, to not feel stale. What I do worry about, though, is, like you said, it's kind of uncharted territory in a way. We haven't had a superhero game adopt this model ever. For so long, we've all sort of had a grasp on what we thought the superhero genre is, even back when they were all crappy licensed games. We knew that they were sort of single player, story driven, sometimes linear, sometimes open world, and we've all stuck to that formula. This is the first one doing something new. The devs did say that, quote, missions have story significance, but also allow you to tell your own story, and those are also designed to be replayable, which sounds a little bit like a Destiny situation in that, or a Division situation in that you're playing the same or similar missions over and over again to sort of maybe grind out new gear or skills, which for me is a little uninspired, but I have to see how it works within the context of everything. Because say you can play story modes, story missions from different perspectives, that would be cool. Like if one time you jumped in it as Hawkeye and saw like how he reacted and like little changes to the story there, or if you played as Iron Man, that would be cool and maybe extend the end game.
That's one of those things, actually. It's kind of, in the way they think about replayability there, because my biggest fear with this game is the grind and repetition.
Yeah.
It almost reminds me of the Lego games where you'd go back and play them in the free, I forget what the name was, but you could play them with more than the two assigned characters in the story thing, and there'd be different things in the level that you could do with specific characters.
Yeah.
If they figured out a way of making that feel more natural, that would be pretty cool. I'm really excited about the hub worlds, because the Marvel Universe is so rich, and for the most part, all we've really seen in the games is New York City. I know X-Men Legends and Ultimate Alliance took us to the likes of Genosha and Wakanda and Atlantis, but they were always in a limited capacity. You know, you never really got to see them fully realized. If this game manages to make you, like, you know, go to Wakanda and roam around and go to the city and go all around the areas, you know, maybe they have a mission where you've got to fend off an attack from Claw, who's trying to get some vibranium. Basically, if they can make all these different worlds feel proper and like fully fleshed out, and not to the insane degree that we've seen in Arkham and Spider-Man perhaps, but in a way that makes it feel lived in, that would be really cool, because I'm banking on them doing Atalan as well, because of the Inhumans nods in the trailer.
Okay.
So if they can get this, if they can get that down, if it's more than just New York, I'll be very happy.
This is actually the thing I'm excited for the most, because when it was announced that it wasn't just a sandbox, I was kind of relieved. We kind of got a taste of that in, weirdly enough, Lego Marvel Superheroes, where you can be any superhero you want and go around this version of New York packed to the brim with sort of like Marvel iconography and stuff. And we got that with Spider-Man. They made that so distinct to that character, yet again peppered it in with other sort of references, and sort of like it felt like a world more superheroes existed in. I'm pleased they're not just like making San Francisco the playable area with these guys, because I feel like you've got such a diverse team and we don't know how many characters are involved yet, that it is a great way to just sort of focus on individual aspects and give them their own sort of like time to shine. Like you said, Wakanda, that would be awesome to have like a big mini open world that you could explore freely, and like will be packed with lore and story and mythology.
You know what I would love as well?
Come on.
And it's kind of going back to the Lego Marvel Superheroes thing that they did with the helicarrier where you jump off that and then go into New York.
Yes.
Kind of maybe like a Splinter Cell Blacklist type situation where you have the helicarrier or the Quinjet and you're in there and that's your main hub world where you can enter. I want them to go all out with all like the really niche, like irrelevant stuff that Ultimate Alliance had where we were in different places, like the trivia section, the different little interactions. I want all of that.
I love the trivia section.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I felt like validated. It's like, because it gave you so much XP. I was like, yes, reward my years spent of just doing this. I don't know. It's one of those things where like, if they can make, it's all about immersion and making the world feel lived in. If you don't have that, then there's a massive danger that this game is just like hopping from location to location, fighting the same scenarios, the same kind of AI patterns over and over again with the same heroes. And that's one thing they really want to avoid.
I agree. I think exactly what you said there, the hub world will just be great, hopefully, for just sort of like lounging around and talking to people. Like you said, Ultimate Alliance, was it X-Men Legends, actually? Just like walking around the X-Mansion, talking to Professor Xavier and just having like a good time and fleshing out characters that at the time I didn't know much about. Mm-hmm. And then I got to learn about like this world and like these heroes. And I thought that was like so cool and an interesting way to break up the, not monotony, but repetitiveness of the regular game.
And the great thing about X-Men Legends as well is you did that through the eyes of a new student. So like it was almost like they expected people to kind of be assaulted by all this new lore, but then to kind of take that into account as well. I'd absolutely love it if, almost like the Have in Destiny, where you can just like screw around with your mates and like do crazy dances and stuff, if you can basically just have a reenactment of that scene from Age of Ultron where everyone's trying to piss about lift up Mjolnir, but you're doing that with your friends and like the thing. And I just, again, I want everyone to have... My main hope for this game is I want everyone to have their own hero and to feel satisfied with their own heroic experience, because it is so ambitious. It's, you know, like we think of like when Rocksteady did Batman right for the first time, and then Insomniac did Spider-Man right. You know, these are all just individual characters that they've spent years and years developing on, just singular characters.
Yeah.
They're juggling so many different figures at this one time or another, and I hope there aren't any repeated animations. I hope everyone feels distinct, because it's such an ambitious task. It's not just a simple, you know, isometric, this character is bigger, has more like health, and does this sort of thing. You've got to like make sure the way they move feels right, make sure the way they interact with the world feels right, and that is so exciting but also really terrifying. I can't imagine what they're feeling right.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, the Avengers are the biggest property in the world right now. And like you said, it's hard enough to get a single character right that both pleases fans and subverts what they want. I mean, Insomniac Spider-Man's like a perfect example. When that first trailer came out, I think everyone was kind of blown away. Mm-hmm. But there was even a issue or worry over like the new costume, like the new
white spider. Which is amazing,
by
the way.
Which is amazing, but I was one of those people who initially was like, ooh, what are you doing, Insomniac? Yeah, blasphemers. But I think they did just such a good job of establishing their own take on the universe. And I think we're kind of seeing that with the Avengers at the moment. Like you said, a lot of us are sort of a bit iffy on the new character designs, but if they can pull off a strong story with the same amount of confidence and put their own mark on the franchise, I think that's the most important way to go, because obviously this is separate from the MCU, and Marvel are trying to create their own gameiverse. How connected that will be across the different releases is yet to be sort of seen, but you need a good core foundation to build off of first.
I have a theory about this.
Come on,
this
is what I'm here for.
Because they mentioned at E3 the PS4 would get exclusive content. I think maybe the way they've gotten around, or the way Microsoft have gotten around this whole, you know, if this game is connected to Spider-Man, we are effectively handing Sony free promotion to do their next Spider-Man game, because there are going to be more, you know, the last one left up with Sony sequel teasers. I do wonder if Spider-Man will be the PS4 exclusive content on the way. Yeah. I do wonder maybe, even if he'll play completely differently, if that would be what Sony have got planned for this, I think that'd be a masterstroke, because like, you've basically got this little bit of DLC that is unattainable for people on the other console, which at one end is really, really bad, but it also makes perfect business sense, because you've got the Avengers and Spider-Man, but you could only play him on PlayStation. I could definitely see them doing that at some point down the line.
Absolutely, which opens up the door, I guess, in general, to teasing characters or other games in the future. Like we've been saying, it's a games as service that will be released updates and DLC. Who's to say that they won't have like Sony's exclusive stuff won't be Spider-Man, or who's to say that Square Enix's own Guardians of the Galaxy will turn up here first before they get their own game? Like, it could happen. It would be interesting way to sort of seed the universe or test the waters without, because I mean, it's so dangerous and ambitious to come out with this is the Avengers now. Mm-hmm. We're doing it. This is it. Like, we can't go back on this, really. Yeah. This is our version of this titular team. And yet, it would be a cool way to use the game as a service to sort of potentially, you know, test the waters for a future appearance by other characters.
I think if they manage to replicate even half the success of the MCU, you know, you have that need to go and seek out every single film that gets released.
Yes.
Even if it's got a staggered release, you'll end up watching it at some point, because everything, the dots connect in their own unique ways, and they all contribute to the wider narrative. I completely forgot that Square were also doing Guardians of the Galaxy, which we haven't seen officially announced yet, but Shrai mentioned it a while back. Could it be possible that maybe one of the DLCs is Guardians of the Galaxy, and then it leads into a further game?
I hope so.
We know nothing. Literally, the only story details we have so far is that trailer of, like, they try and set up the West Coast Avengers. The Terrigen bomb goes off. I'm fairly certain the narrator is Kamala Khan, because that's linked into all that. And then we see Taskmaster is behind it, but I think he's probably working for someone else. And who he's working for, again, they've gotten in. I'm hoping that the story will be even half as good as what Insomniac achieved, because, you know, I think even though we all looked at the faces for the game and thought, and then also some of the character designs and went, but the voice acting talent they've got behind it, you know, it goes without saying. If they get that down, if they might, it's one of those weird things, because they've got to juggle so much. They've got the games as a service, and the, you know, they're trying to engage people with a story. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't even begin to fathom how they juggle both those things in one product.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll compare it as we have been through this entire podcast to Insomniac Spider-Man, which I think we kind of forget how much of a potential anomaly that might have been, because that was so good straight out the gate. Yet so many superhero games have floundered and struggled beforehand. Like, although Insomniac's work shouldn't be like undermined or something, that was just, in my eyes, that's kind of a one-off. That never happens. Like, it's happened potentially once before with Arkham Asylum, where the definitive version of that, or the video game definitive version of that character, has just come out swinging. Pun absolutely intended. So the Avengers might come out and sort of like struggle a little bit, but there is space there to sort of grow into something else. The logistics behind a Marvel Gamerverse keep me up at night all the time, Yuna. I'm pleased you constantly get me to do news on it, because I love figuring out the logistics of of this, like you said, Sony owns Spider-Man, and there is a weird business relationship there that you could be giving one platform holder sort of like free advertising, essentially, for the characters.
It's they've got the, not to interrupt or anything,
no,
but the way the comics have set up at the moment, we had a Spider-Man tie-in that released last year, and then we had another Spider-Man Gamerverse comic, which acted almost like a prequel to the Velocity suit that appears in the DLC.
Yeah.
But they've strayed away from doing any sort of, this is the Gamerverse, this is Spider-Man interacting with Captain America. And the only reason why I think they could be holding off on that is because they are so stringent, companies these days, whether it's Lucasfilm Story Group or Marvel, they are so stringent with how continuity is. And the only reason why I think they haven't gone all in on that yet is because there is some connection here and they want to make sure that they have all the threads figured out. That is, again, to me, all the clues seem to be pointing towards there being a thing. I know people have pointed towards there being an artistic discrepancy between Taskmaster in the Avengers and how he looks in Spider-Man, but this happens all the time in comics. You know, you see someone appear to be slightly more, you know, muscly in one comic and then less muscly in one, he's got a different suit. That's just how comics are. There's always going to be that kind of artistic license. And if they manage to make that conducive to what they're doing, more power to them.
Exactly. All I'm saying is that Thanos at the end of the Avengers post-credit scene looks nothing like Josh Brolin in Infinity War, and that's fine because, you know, like, you learn from that sort of like these designs that you make up and then later on properly establish and make definitive, which is cool. Mm. I am interested in how they will approach it, not only because of the sort of business realities of giving these different franchises to not only different publishers but different developers and how different they can actually make them. I want to see sort of the Gamerverse diversify a little bit. I like that we've got the single player story driven Spider-Man open world. I like that we're going to get games as service, as scary as that might be, Avengers. I want to see them properly go all in on like different subgenres kind of the way the MCU has with like different tones. Like, you've got heist movies, you've got war movies, you've got a bunch of different things, and it's not getting the same thing every time, and you're tailoring these experiences to the sort of pros of the superheroes themselves, which is cool.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would love to see them just go more on all these different genres. Like, I know people mentioned when they played Spider-Man that how much sense would it have made to have done like a Daredevil DLC or a Luke Cage DLC just in that New York world. And even then you could kind of just zoom in on different parts of that New York map and do your own thing with it. I'm trying to think of like which characters now would lend themselves to different genres. That might be a list for a future time.
This is going
to
be my next
question. Oh, there we go.
Which characters would you like to see next year?
Daredevil, because he's my favourite Marvel character. I think there is so much scope for almost like you could marry Phoenix Wright with like a third person action game, you know, and then the evidence you collect is Daredevil then works into your case in the courtroom. Yep. I think that's just such a no-brainer, and you could have Daredevil defending different Marvel heroes further down the line. I'd love to see a Wolverine game that is almost historical in nature, like almost like the intro to, I don't know, Origins Wolverine is Origins Wolverine.
But the intro
is amazing. So if you could have something like that, you know, you have like almost like a biographical like superhero story that goes from their beginnings all the way, and then the game could literally end with him in the modern day. But I'd love to have like a World War II Wolverine Captain America team up mission or something along those lines. Maybe you meet the Invaders or whatever. And then also, you know, the X-Men kind of go without saying. I think if we can get another X-Men game that is even vaguely as ambitious as the Avengers,
please,
that would be incredible. Maybe the sequel will be Avengers versus X-Men, even though I don't want to see them fight, I want to see them team up, because that's what superheroes are about. They shouldn't be fighting each other all the time. Sorry, Marvel. But like, you know, if we got to see the X-Men and the Avengers team up in the next one, that'd be really cool as well. I don't know.
I fully agree. I like what you said about sort of like focusing on Daredevil as a lawyer as well. I think what Insomniac's game did really well, and what this new one hopefully will do really well, is sort of focusing on like the heroes outside of the suits, or at least the sort of personal drama that comes with it. I liked playing as Peter Parker for the first time ever, even though you could do it in crap games like The Amazing Spider-Man 2. They actually pulled it off in an interesting way, even though, you know, the gameplay was pretty basic. You were invested in his plight. The Miles Morales levels earlier on are all so good in fleshing out that character, and it was for the first time you got a sense of who these people are, both behind the mask and when they're swinging around and punching people with mechanical arms.
Yes. Also, maybe we could get like a Max Payne style Punisher game. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Scott's the one for that. I've got all these ideas, man. Just give them all to me.
Well, they're giving them out to talented publishers and talented developers. You and I can think of nobody but you who is better suited to creating all of these titles. You know what? Now you mentioned it. I absolutely want that Punisher game, because the original on, I think it was original Xbox, was I try to get that thing into every single list I can,
yep,
and try to just talk about it because it's awesome and so violent and so good.
It's worth a bomb now as well because you can't find it, yep, anywhere. So yep, there we go.
It's absolutely great. Mm. I want to talk about briefly, just before we wrap up, how you think people and other developers are actually going to respond to what Square Enix are doing with the Avengers. Because WB, as a publisher, have been going down a sort of monetization route and a microtransaction route recently with all of their games, Mortal Kombat, Batman, Injustice, everything, Shadow of Mordor,
yeah,
in a kind of a way that is worrying, and this might bolster them to sort of want to do that with Batman, which I'm scared about.
Yeah, this is the really interesting thing, because every time I bring up Batman Arkham on this channel, it's always a case of like Warner Brothers had this amazing, you know, it's even got its official designation, it's the Arkhamverse.
Yes.
Every single game seeded a universe. You know, we had the Justice League references in Arkham Asylum. Everything went, every single entry in that franchise has alluded to a wider DC universe. And yet we're here in the year of our Lord 2019 with four main Arkham titles, one handheld spin-off, and literally no knowledge of the outside universe. I think that's ridiculous. I think that speaks more to Warner Brothers as a publisher.
Yeah.
And we know that Warner Brothers Montreal have tried endlessly to get different games off the ground. They're currently working on another Batman game. But yeah, it's completely bonkers to me that we haven't seen the, you know, we talk about like gamifying different things. So we haven't seen a universifying, mm-hmm, you know, attitude taken to Batman when there is such an amazing scope for that universe to exist. I'm curious to see whether you could see that transferred to different things, because, you know, we've talked about like all these different franchises trying to MCU-ify themselves. You had the Dark Universe, may it forever rest in peace. And yeah, it's Warner Brothers to me is so confusing, because it's just like you had all of this and then we've not had anything since 2015, and, you know, we know they're, yeah, working on something, but it's a case of like how quickly Marvel have stolen the march.
That's what I was going to touch on.
Releasing one game.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I mean, like, we had like Arkham Asylum, we had Arkham City, we had Arkham Knight. I know people are a bit conflicted on that one, but those are all strong, confident games, and it feels like they were never really capitalized on by the publisher in a way that they should have been. Like, they're all great, but like you said, it's been 4 years since Arkham Knight. What the hell is going on with WB Montreal? They had so many games kicked back, and it's kind of weird to see them now playing catch up in a way. I'm sure they're going to create whatever they create next, whatever Rocksteady and WB Montreal create next. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, good and interesting and ambitious. But it's weird to see that in such a short amount of time, Marvel kind of come in and be like, well, this is the new standard now. You're not the only superhero game in town. We're actually going all in on it. And I think that competition can only lead to good things. Mm. But I worry about how they're essentially going to change in the future, because like we said, Spider-Man was an anomaly in a way. It was published by Sony, and they're one of the few publishers like Microsoft who get to indulge in proper big story-driven games. I don't think WB is really interested in that anymore, or at least not without any monetization elements tacked on or DLC tacked on, which is frustrating, but at the same time, I think competition is only good.
Yeah, and also, like, let's not kid ourselves, like, Warner Brothers Montreal, the Arkham series has so much potential for them to monetize different aspects if they wanted to.
Yeah.
The multiplayer mode that I mentioned from Arkham Origins was criminally overlooked and criminally undersupported as well. They almost had, like, a Battlefront scenario there where you could have added more villains and heroes to the setup, and they never did. And I know that was developed by Splash Damage, the multiplayer component, but it's still a fair point to make. And then also, again, this is the thing, Marvel's Avengers will be the first major co-op superhero game on this generation or the last generation. And, you know, Batman has the most iconic partnership in comics, Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Why haven't you made a Batman and Robin game?
Why didn't that? Yeah. Right, well, it always baffles me how that wasn't implemented in Knight, because
in Knight,
you had all of
the dual play.
Yeah, the dual play could have been. Yeah. It was so underused even in the single play, and I don't know why it wasn't opened up to co-op. Maybe they was worried that it might steal the thunder, or it might have just been like not a bit jarring to what we were used to. But I feel like Rocksteady did such a good job of introducing more than Batman to this world. You had Catwoman as a playable character. Mm. You could buy Nightwing and Robin and all these other people. Yet they didn't sort of mesh them into like the actual main gameplay. They were reserved for side content or challenge boards, which was like fun, but there is so much unused potential.
And I wonder if this is a fallout of the cinematic equation as well, because Marvel would have never entertained the prospect of an Avengers game 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's only with the MCU that I feel as though they have the confidence to explore these characters. With DC, they're in a slightly trickier position, because even though, you know, Superman and the Justice League are revered icons in pop culture, they are not as omnipresent as, you know, the Avengers are. They're not as big. And I wonder if maybe, even though DC has the likes of Green Lantern, which they could make an amazing game from Green Lantern. They have all these different characters that they could use, but I do think that maybe Warner Brothers are slightly obsessed with, well, Batman makes money.
Yep.
Superman, we know, will make money, but even we'll ignore how difficult it is to get him right in a video game for a second, but make him anyway. And then, like, yeah, it's so peculiar to me that they have so much potential, but because maybe potentially, I don't know, I'm not in the, I don't know, but you know, the way that the cinematic thing has worked out over the past decade, maybe that's why they've been kind of reticent to actually, you know, pursue the Arkhamverse as, you know, aggressively as Marvel have with their own stuff.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, like even in DC's movie slate, you watch them try to cram Superman and Batman movies like into everything and just focus on those characters at the detriment to other like big heroes. Mm-hmm. Like they announced a bunch of stuff, yeah, but never got around to actually making them, which I think is sort of, you know, how kind of a testament to how narrow-minded these publishers can be at sometimes, like when they see Batman sells, so we'll focus on Batman to the detriment of everything else, even though we built this lovely universe. But that's a topic for a different podcast. What do you guys think down in the comments below? Are you looking forward to the Avengers, or are you a little bit worried about what superhero games are turning into? Either way, I have not been your host, Scott Tilford, but he will be back in a few weeks, and we will still have lovely podcasts for you three times a week. Either way, though, while you're down there, could you give us a like, share, subscribe, and head over to WhatCulture.com for more lists and news like this every single day. Even if you don't, though, I've been Josh, he's been you, and thank you for watching, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye, 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 bye,
bye, bye.
Batman.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.